This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, 7:36 in the morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar, together with Wong Xiaoning and Ku Su Chuang. And in the meantime, we're turning our attention to the ESG movement, or the Environmental, Social, and Governance movement, which is quickly catching on among businesses. I think more investors are looking for companies that do well by doing good. And this is driven by increasing evidence in the academic literature that ESG practices do have a positive impact on the bottom line and shareholder value.
So according to a Pricewaterhouse survey, 78% of board members and senior executives agree that strong ESG performance contributes to organizational value and or financial performance. But upping the game in the ESG arena is forcing businesses to rethink traditional views of creating value to their shareholders and their role in society. So this includes how salaries might be used as an enabler in influencing leadership behaviors and how that might be done by linking pay to ESG goals.
So where do companies, especially those just embracing their ESG journey begin? For more on this, we are speaking this morning to Indra Danudipa, Director of People and Organization at PwC Malaysia. Thanks for joining us, Indra. Let's start with this question. Why is it important for executives to link ESG goals to their pay? I mean, what would this achieve?
In my opinion, the need for business to take action on ESG is a given. Organizations have realized that addressing climate challenges or improving product sustainability will be critical to unlock shareholder value. And evidently, shareholders and society at large expect companies to play their role in addressing the pivotal issues of our time. And we all know, to drive this behavior, either you're intrinsically motivated or there are certain external factors which align your interests towards these goals. And pay assists in expediting the process of aligning individual interests towards company's goals. Once the individual interests are aligned over a period of time, the intrinsic behaviors also start to change. And there are various statistics to support the alignment of pay to ESG. A PwC study revealed that 45% of FTSE 100 companies are aligning ESG to either bonus or long-term incentive plans, or both. But the question which you asked, that will linking pay to ESG achieve the desired outcomes? I think what linking pay to ESG targets will do is change the long-term behaviors which are aligned to the organizational strategy. This may also include the likelihood of leaders role modeling ESG practices among employees or reframing how they respond to critical issues like diversity and inclusion and fair labor practices. And that is something every organization should aim for.
So how should companies actually realistically link ESG goals to executive pay? Should they be looking at it from like a percentage of salary angle or bonus angle?
Well, there's no single answer to it, and it depends on each and every organization. But when it comes to linking pay to ESG goals, I would generally recommend organizations to consider these four key areas. Firstly, quantitative versus qualitative objective. The quantitative objectives are great, such as reducing emissions, and they are transparent and something which stakeholders prefer. But there can be situations where organizations also need to set qualitative goals for themselves. For example, strategic transformation to revamp the supply chain of the organization. So you may want to have a mix of quantitative versus qualitative. Then comes individual KPI versus scorecard. Sometimes organizations may have one or two ESG goals which may be crucial for them and hence need significant focus. For example, health and well-being of employees in a manufacturing plant. Whereas in other cases, you have a multidimensional focus which may include renewable energy, gender equality, quality education. In these cases, a balanced set of metrics work but better. Third point is, should we go for annual bonus or long-term incentive plans, and something which you were asking. When it comes to environmental goals, we have generally seen a long-term incentive plan works better because it takes several years to feel the positive impact. But some ESG goals, such as health and safety, can be achieved in a much shorter time frame and hence can be considered for rewards through bonus. Lastly, milestone versus scale target. Any large-scale transformation objective should have a scale target with minimum threshold and maximum performance levels. Whereas some issues should have a pass-fail performance standard, below which organization can also look at reduction in payout.
And are companies in Malaysia focusing enough on ESG in their initiatives? And how does Malaysia compare regionally in its ESG adoption?
Well, a recent study done by ASEAN CSR Network in collaboration with the National University of Singapore addresses this in more detail with a comparison of the 7 key ASEAN economies. Although the countries show wide variations in their sustainable reporting performance, Singapore and Malaysia-listed companies earn the highest scores overall. In fact, Malaysian-listed companies stood out in terms of balance, leading the way in making unfavorable disclosures. In fact, since 2016, Malaysia, along with Singapore, Indonesia, and Thailand, have shown positive progress on most of the indicators. And in my opinion, all this became possible due to the enhanced focus towards this topic. In the past 1 or 2 years, I personally have seen an increase in companies investing in ESG-related training in areas like reporting or sustainable financing. Regulators themselves are playing a key role by hosting dedicated training sessions on ESG with continuing professional education points recognized by other professional bodies. In addition, increased reporting in media on this topic sends an important message that ESG is becoming mainstream. And at the end of the day, to achieve your ESG ambition, it takes collective responsibility. And companies should take advantage of all the resources available to them in upskilling themselves and bringing themselves on par with not only regional, but also global counterparts.
So Indra, which country is leading the initiative in tying their executive pay to ESG goals?
Well, globally, we see this trend increasing. 2/3 of institutional investors say they want to see executive compensation linked to ESG performance, according to a survey released by Edelman. The trend to link ESG metrics to executive pay is ramping up in Europe, where the main focus is on climate change. In fact, in a January 2021 survey conducted by Pay Governance, 90% of the UK and EU companies surveyed included ESG metrics in their incentive compensation plans. And one of the key reasons behind this is the role the regulators play in these parts of the world. Regulators in Germany, France, and EU have put forth proposals to accelerate the integration of ESG factors in executive remuneration via soft and hard laws. In some cases, remuneration has become the litmus test for financial regulators to assess whether banks, asset managers, and insurers are taking climate change seriously enough. But in conclusion, linking ESG to pay will give the required impetus. But at the end of the day, it is a long-term journey. And organizational behavior and culture needs to transform to bring the real change.
Thanks very much, Indra, for speaking to us on this. That was Indra Danudipa, Director for People and Organization at PwC Malaysia, talking to us about how linking executive pay to ESG goals could make a difference.
Sorry, this is basically capitalism with a conscience, isn't it?
Is there such a thing? Do they go hand in hand?
Well, that's what they're trying to have a conscience, right? They feel bad about killing the world, so they do these things like ESG and CSR to make themselves feel better.
Some people say it's greenwashing. That's the term, right?
The cynic in me says that this is just not enough and too late.
I think it's not enough if you're only looking at individual pieces of the puzzle. But I think Indra made a really good point, the fact that it requires a long-term transformational change. We can't go with the magical thinking that, oh, by doing this one thing, oh, the world's going to be a better place. No, it requires doing a lot of good things in different places to give that one big picture.
I love your idealism, Shaz, but you can't save the world and make money at the same time. There is no in-between. Either you make money and get rich, or you kill the world.
Not in the short term, that's for sure.
I'm kind of in-between here, guys. I think you can still make money and you can still save the world. It's not a binary kind of choice for me.
All right, stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.